Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. We are now live on the air. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show. We're at episode number... What do we
44.
Have? Is it 44?
Yeah.
We're at 44. So tomorrow night will be our 45th episode. And we're proud we've been able to do it, make it this far, and we love it. We love you all turning into us on this great week as we all are getting ready for Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of days. Hope everybody's got great plans. I know I do. But we're so glad you're with us tonight. Here's what we have planned. We're going to do a reading on faith again, like we usually do, and then that reading on Genesis to see what happens with Jacob's family, Joseph and them. Then I'm going to exhort on it a bit. Then I'm going to talk about, I'm not sure whether this is going to be tonight, tomorrow night, or Wednesday night. I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to talk about some of my favorite Thanksgiving memories. These may revolve around food. These may revolve around watching the Lions game. These may revolve around, you know. And then we're going to have, and then another time I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that I'm thankful for. And I would really love for you to call into the show and talk to us and tell us what you're thankful for on this Thanksgiving. And I'm going to tell you a few more tidbits about it. But for tonight's show, I may talk about these memories. I may not. It all depends on where God takes me and that. And then we got sports and we got a bunch of stuff to get to. We're going to be all over the road. And I got college football. I got high school football. I got NFL, of course. I have basketball. I have hockey and that crazy 8-2 Red Wings game on Wednesday, which resulted in a player getting suspended for 10 games because of a fight. And some stuff like that. So it's just going to be a crazy busy show tonight. And so we're going to get started with the word of prayer. I will quickly say we are at McDonald's on 1711 South Saginaw Road across from Kmart. And so if you want to come join me, I'll talk to you. And so you're thinking Miracle Man or Preacher Man. Either one of us. You're thinking, how do I call you guys? How do I call another show? It's real easy. There's a phone number you can call us at. That number is 215-383-3810. It gets you into Blog Talk Radio. And that'll know that you listen to us. You'll press 1. And when you press 1, it'll take you to the screener. And it'll get you into our program. And you can talk to us. We can talk sports. We can talk about the holidays. We can talk about faith. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it is not politics. If it's politics, what I'm going to tell you, and or what Miracle Man or and or what Preacher Man will tell you, is you need to pray over your leaders. That's all I'm going to tell you, because there's other great talk shows you can listen to for that kind of stuff, like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and others. I'm not one of those talk show hosts. That's not my expertise. I do we're talking faith, fun, football, sports, and right now with the holiday season coming up, holidays. Oh, and by the way, there's not going to be a spoiler alert, but there's going to be some Christmas music coming soon after Thanksgiving. Some of these will be sang by me. I will not say what they will be tonight. I will not say. Of course, if you call in and ask me to sing one before Thanksgiving, I will. Otherwise, these songs that I would either play or sing are not until after Thanksgiving. And then as we get further into December, I'm going to start talking a bit about Christmas, what it's about as far as biblically, Jesus and his birth, the Magi, the star. And again, I'm going to talk about some memories, and we'll have some great Christmas programming coming up when the time is near, as well as some of these spiritual Christmas songs, you know. What is the meaning behind them? Now, if you just like a classic Christmas carol and you don't care how spiritual it is, we will have some of those too, because like Ben Crosby in that, I love that version of White Christmas that he does. Well, will I even cover that or anything this year on the show? Again, I said no spoilers. But when the time comes, you'll know.
Hey, you know, I got something to say, Miracle Man.
Yes, Preacher?
We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Everybody thought I was going to sing a Christmas song. It was Thanksgiving.
Well, I am myself, I'm into the Murph stuff already, but I already decided that I wasn't going to start singing it on this program until after Thanksgiving, because
Amen.
Some people just aren't ready yet.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I feel the need to be respectful of people's opinions. But if I come on Monday and I'm all singing and stuff, who knows? I'm not telling you when I'm gonna start singing those songs. You're gonna have to listen to the show to find out, people.
But Amen.
Enough rambling, and on to prayer, and on to tonight's plan. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you, Jesus, that your hand is upon this. Thank you, Lord God, that more importantly than your hand being on just me and the preacher, even though that's really important, is that these listeners are being ministered to. In the name of God, I bless every one of these listeners who is listening to this program. I claim that you encourage them. I claim that you give them strength to get through. Not just this week of Thanksgiving or Christmas coming up in a few weeks, but to get through life. The strength to get through life. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you use my voice to be an encouragement and to be the light into this very dark hour. And I just thank you, Lord God, for that. I pray, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, that the rest of that money for that great equipment is going to come in. And for those of you who haven't noticed, I got a headset on with a little mic, and there is already a sound equipment improvement, but
yes,
when
yes.
We get that brand new equipment, it'll improve even more, and that's going to really change the dynamics. It's going to be better quality. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I shall open up the Word of God. I shall open up the Word of God now to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to continue our reading on faith and what it is and all that. And then I'm going to exhort a bit after I read this. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read Hebrews 11. Then I'm going to get to our chapter in Genesis. I'm going to read that chapter. Then I'm going to exhort based on where the Lord wants me to exhort. I'm always Spirit-led. So, praise God. Got your Bible? Please turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to start with verse 1 and go from there. And if you got your Bible, please participate. Because we don't want you to just listen. We want you to participate. Now, I shall begin reading. So as they would say, read. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when Jesus spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though Abel is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. So did he, that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. You know that, folks? God took him away. After he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, oh, it is so easy to please God. You don't even have to work at it. You just singing my Christmas. Nope, doesn't say that. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Some people read that the wrong way. They think they can please God without faith. You cannot, and here's why. The reason for that is because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he didn't see yet, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he obeyed the word. He condemned the world and became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not yet know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like as a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead. He became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God touched him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned with that God could raise the dead. And, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By
yeah.
faith, Isaac blessed, and Esau was regarded, he blessed Isaac and Jacob in regards to their future. Nope, I'm not done. I'm just turning the page. He blessed him in regards to the future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites to Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. He was not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover with the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might reign, they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. But I will. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. Now I'm going to read the first couple verses, three verses of Hebrews 12. And it reads like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, by cloud we mean a great number of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That means get the sin out of your life. So if I were to read it the way like God means it, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a, or the way we would understand it, since we are surrounded by a great number of witnesses, let's get rid of all hindrances and sin out of our lives. That sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Can't lose hope on lose heart. You gotta keep heart, you gotta keep the faith. The Bible says very specifically, we are partakers in Christ if we keep the faith all the way to the end. Very specific. God said it. Let's go to Genesis. Let me see. We're going to not 41. Today, we did 41.
Is today the day that Joseph goes from the pit to the palace, or was that yet last time?
That'll be next.
Okay.
Because he's in charge of Egypt now. He's in charge of Egypt now. And people are going there to get food from him. Now we're going to 42. And this is where Joseph's brothers are going to Egypt. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, and the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Joseph was the governor of the land, and the one who sold grain to all his people. So Joseph's brothers arrived. They bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them like he pretended to be a stranger. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them.
"Where do you come from?"
he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all his sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them. "You have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you. You are spies, and this is how you will be tested. And as surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here also. Send one of your number to get your brother." The youngest, the oldest of you will be kept in the prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them all in custody for 3 days.
That'll make you sweat.
Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live. And I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving household. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified, and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distrust has come upon us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you would not listen. Now we must give an accounting for our brother. For our blood, excuse me." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and he began to weep. But they turned back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon take from them and bound them before, take from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill the bags with grain to put each man's silver back in his sack and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, "What is this that God has done unto us?" When they came to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan, they told him about all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is lord over the land spoke harshly to us, and he treated us as though we were spying on him. We said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving household and go. But bring your youngest brother to me so that I may know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death, father. I do not bring him back to you to entrust him to my... I will bring him back.' Jacob said, 'My son will not go down there with... My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the body. I mean, he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my grain head down to the grave in sorrow.'" So, pretty crazy stuff. This is making Jacob think that Joseph died when he didn't even die. Let me talk to you about this, about something. You know, before I do that, let me find the holiday pies. The Christmas prize brought to you by McDonald's, who says I'm loving it. Shelly? Let me see. Well, anyhow, I shall take a swig out of this Coca-Cola. Excuse me. Reminder that you can still get any medium, any size Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper from McDonald's for only a dollar. Limited time only. Participating locations. Any size you want. Any flavor you want. It could be Dr. Coke. You know, Dr. Pepper with Coke mixed. It could be another flavor of your choosing. It's you that is in charge of what you get. It all depends on what you're willing to choose. But it's for you to choose, not me. I'm just trying to find these pies here. Let me see. Maybe they're on this side. But anyhow, folks, I'm in the middle of saying this right now. Folks, here is what happened. How it is this. These people who I read about in Hebrews, these people like Samson and all these people, did not exactly receive everything made manifest that they were looking for. They only saw it in a distance. People like Samson and that, from that Old Testament, they never saw the things, you know. They saw those things they were believing God for in the distance, but they never happened. You see, in the New Testament was when you saw even more miracles than you did in the Old. Like in the New Testament, you have the miracles that God did in people's bodies, like the healing of the fevers, the healings of blindness, those people who were healed of leprosy, among other things. Shelly, do you have my pie?
Yes.
Where is it, please? I never found it. I was looking for it.
Oh.
Folks, sorry to do this, but I must. Right in the middle of this. Don't worry, this will not happen next time.
Yeah.
Folks. You can enjoy for a limited time at McDonald's across America one of these custard pies that McDonald's has. They call them holiday pies. I call them Christmas pies. But you can get these Christmas pies at McDonald's for only a limited time. At the McDonald's I'm at, they're 2 for $1.19. At other McDonald's, they're 2 for $1 and different prices depending on which McDonald's you go to. As they say, of course, prices and participation may vary. Now remember, these are best enjoyed while listening to some Christmas music. Or accompanied by a delicious eggnog shake from participating McDonald's restaurants who says 1 year they were doing certain things like the simple joy of, there's things 1 year, the simple joy of winning one, at one point of the year, another point it was the simple joy of this, simple joy of that. So I would say McDonald's reminds you that it's the simple joy of Christmas. And by the way, if you're looking for a McDonald's food item that tastes like Christmas, that is not sweet, I'd go with maybe the nuggets or the fries, because they remind me of Christmas in a way that the other fast food chains cannot. Now, if you're looking for something that will remind you of Thanksgiving when it comes to the fast food places, you'll be on your own. McDonald's does not have any turkey of any kind on the menu. Not even the silly stuff Subway has that, in my mind, is not passable as turkey. Now, back to the message. It's very important that you hear this out. Now, folks, a minute ago, before I received back my wonderful gift for my commercial for that great McDonald's item of Christmas pies, I was talking about how these certain things, these miracles, in the Old Testament there were miracles too, but they were different from like these people who were healed of fevers. Some of these people, you know, healed with leprosy. You know, there was people who, those 10 lepers, you know, only one of them came back. God still healed them. But in order to get that healing, you have to believe that he can do it. In order to believe that he can do it, you have to have read the verses, or at least heard it preached, where people had miracles done in their bodies, or in their money, or in whatever they were believing for. There's a reason why that part on taxes is in there, where that guy finds that coin. It was to show that God can do financial miracles.
Amen.
That man found that money in the fish of that mouth. It was enough money to pay his taxes. It didn't say whether it was his property taxes or his, you know, auto tax or to file his income taxes. I don't know what kind of taxes. It could be any, or it could be enough to pay all of them. Now, sales tax you pay on the spot, but if it was different from that, it could have been that too. You know, I think it was enough to pay all his taxes, but you know, we don't know. Our body, Bible doesn't tell. But still, you still got to believe that he can do what he said he will do for us in our lives. And this part about this whole thing, about this idea of we are a great cloud of witnesses, we are a great cloud of witnesses. So we need to pull aside everything that hinders us, everything that distracts us, and everything that, all our sins that we have. If you have aught against your brother or aught against your sister or someone else, You need to get that fixed. If you're going to have communion, you either need to not partake of communion, for example, until you get it fixed, or we should wait for you to get it fixed, until you get it fixed. Got to be fixed. God doesn't want enmity. God doesn't want, you know, unforgiveness within us or any other sin. But our pastor's daughter, Dawn Randolph, taught on unforgiveness and bitterness. We don't know, you know, you don't won't know you have bitterness or pride until someone tells you. It's unfortunate, but it's how it is. I wish somehow we could tell when we were feeling bitter towards someone else, because then it would be so much easier to fix it. But I've talked about this mind stuff before, you know, about how's your mind doing. But also, you got to work on this heart stuff. We're not talking about your blood pumper. The heart I'm talking about is your heart towards other people. How am I doing at forgiving other people who are wronging me? How am I doing at at not feeling bitter? You know about these people, certain people that may not be my favorite. We're supposed to love everybody. By God, we're supposed to love everybody. But we may not like everybody. Certain people I don't like. There's certain people you don't like. I'm not going to get into all the whys and that and all this personality stuff. You talk to someone else about that. I'm telling you about right now is you can't be bitter. And you can't be walking in all this unforgiveness. And you just can't. You can't walk in forgiveness towards your brother, towards your sister, towards your parents, or anyone else. Oh, and by the way, this Thanksgiving week would be a great time if you have an unforgiveness with one of your family members to go to them at that table. And if they're not, at that table where you are, on the phone, send them a text, send them an email, send them a Facebook message, telling them, if you wronged me and I know it, I forgive you. Because we cannot hold grudges against other people. Holding grudges against other people, well, can essentially cancel your miracle until you get it fixed. You can get grudges fixed, and all your grudges fixed, and all your hedge breaking fixed. The more you do that, the more that God can just bless you and move upon you. We all got to work at this. Every one of us needs to do better. I'm preaching to myself. Obviously, I'm not as bad as many people, but everybody has to work on this at least a little. I'm not terrible. I'm not perfect either. But then again, I'm not trying to fight. But I'm just saying, all of us have to work on this. We all have someone we either have, we just need to work on our hearts, even if we don't necessarily have someone we don't forgive. Sometimes you can just be crusty, and you really need to look at your heart towards God, because this unforgiveness and all that kind of stuff is—it's essentially we could call it spiritual blockage on your arteries of your spiritual heart, and all that plaque is bitterness, unforgiveness. Right, all that kind of stuff. That's all plaque. But the good news is that by forgiving these people, making those wrong things right, and everything else, you can remove all of that plaque, all of that blockage from your spiritual arteries, so you can have great wide arteries in your spiritual heart, and God can just move. He can, and those miracles can happen for you. You'll hear from God a lot better, and it'll just be a lot better. So you'll go from like near spiritual cataract, spiritual cardiac arrest to, you know, freedom, to where your heart, his spiritual heart, is just great. But it's always a work in progress, and God can help you. If you're dealing with some things, I don't need to know all your stuff, but if you're dealing with some things, and you'd like prayer for forgiveness, you'd like to know how to ask for forgiveness, and you want to get some of this other stuff out of your life and want some help, you can call us on that number, and we'll talk to you. That number is 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. We'll talk to you. We'll pray with you. We'll help you get all this stuff fixed so that we can get miracles happening again. Because you know, revival's coming, and you got to get ready. You got to, and you can't have unforgiveness in that if you really want God to work through you. So you really got to work at this. And hey, if you're a first time Christian, you know what I mean by that is if you're looking to ask Jesus Christ into your life for the first time, which you really should, because that's another requirement in order to make heaven, it is required that you give your life to Christ. Required, it's not an option. You have to give your life to Christ in order to make heaven. And very important that you do this. Otherwise, you won't make heaven. And we can help you with that too. The one good thing is that if this is you, it's like you're a new person when you first give your life to Christ, and God will help you. And God will show you what forgiveness is and how to forgive and how to get all this stuff I talked about, all this plaque, junk of unforgiveness and strife and that out of you. And God will help you do that. So if that's you tonight, if you want to get this stuff out of your heart, or if you want to give your life to Christ for the first time ever, you can call this number, 215-383-2810. We'll talk you through it. We'll help you. Whatever you need. We do this for you because we love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say this. If I didn't love all you. But I'm saying this because I care about all you people. I care about your souls. I care. I want God to move in your lives if you believe in God for miracles. Yes, you got to have faith. Also, you have to have a clean hands and a pure heart towards God. And you have to walk in forgiveness towards others. So you call us, we'll help you. Now, I pray real quick over this, and then we're going to get into sports. Now, a reminder, we're going to be all over the road. But before we do that, a word of prayer. Now, dear Heavenly Father, is there a spot open for us? Is there a spot open?
Where?
You know.
Oh, no, not
yet. Oh, seriously, they're still there. What's my battery at? Jeez. These people, seriously, come on. Come on now. I need more than just three. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people who are listening to this tonight or who listen to this later when it goes up there on the website. I pray that in the name of Jesus that you'll talk to these people and you'll show them what they need to do to about what we talked about tonight about having clean hands and pure heart towards you, God, and getting all this unforgiveness out of us, Lord God. I pray that you don't just help us, me and Preacher Man and everyone else, but that you help them too, new believers and those who are listening to this program. I pray that in the name of Jesus that you would just bless these people and just show them, help them, show them what they need to do. You will show people what they need to do so that they can have abundance and they can be healed and set free and delivered. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was thinking about something. Being delivered from unforgiveness, it's a great miracle. Being delivered from bitterness, awesome. Now, hopefully, if you've been delivered from that stuff once, hopefully, prayerfully, you won't need it again. If you do, God will help you get delivered and freed from it again. Because this unforgiveness stuff and all that, got to get rid of it. Now, thank you. Thank you all for listening to this word of encouragement, I'm going to call it. I'm not calling it a lecture because there's more to it than just a lecture. It's helping you in your walk with God and exhorting on what was on my heart. Now, folks, sorry, I'm moving around a little bit. I'm just a spot open up, so I'm going to get into it. Can you hand me the cord, please, so I can plug it in? Now, folks, we are moving on to the sports portion of this evening's program. I However, folks, are moving right on to the sports. So here we go. It is time for first start. Yes, there might be another level of football that I might be as or a little more excited about. But I will get to that in a few minutes. First, NFL, because that's what happened last. We begin first with NFL, and we start with your Detroit Lions taking on the Da Bears at Soldier Field in beautiful downtown Chicago. And your Detroit Lions did what they had to do. They robbed, helped it so that a long Bear field goal with literally just a few seconds left to go in that game that could have tied the ball game did not go through. And the Lions beat the Bears 27-24 yesterday afternoon. Again, like I said, in Soldier Field. Stafford, pretty good game. Couple touchdown passes. Anthony Zettel had a few tackles, a couple for losses. It was pretty close. I think the Bears are trying to play a bit better, trying to make a statement that they're not necessarily one of the laughingstock teams of the league. Now, this is the first time in the Super Bowl in the history of the Lions, at least back to the start of the Super Bowl era, in which they beat all three of their divisional opponents on the road. That being the Bears, the Pack, and the Vikings. They beat all three of these teams on the road. Now, speaking of Vikings, Lions, Vikings, Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, 12:30 p.m., your Detroit Lions are taking on the Minnesota Vikings at Ford Field, the annual Thanksgiving Day game, as they'll be playing football while we'll all be eating our turkeys and mashed potatoes and talking to our family. It's going to be great, I think. I see this as being a great game. Now, if you're looking for a prediction, stay tuned. I'm not doing the prediction tonight, but when I do it, I feel good. Keep in mind, the Vikings are 8-2. The Lions are 6-4. So, I mean, 7-3, excuse me. I mean, they are. 6-4. So 8-2, 6-4 is the record. So Vikes are better by two games. So that would favor the Vikings. But I think the Lions are going to try to prove something. They are the better team in the division because I think they just might be. We'll see. Other key games. What on earth is happening to the Dallas Cowboys? The Dallas Cowboys got beat up, got lit up at home on Sunday Night Football, this time by the Eagles, who are 9-1. They got beat by the score of 37-9. 37-9 is your final there in Dallas. Could not get a touchdown. Prescott did not throw one touchdown. Zeke suspended. other things just going terribly wrong for the Cowboys right now, who have gotten blown out 2 weeks in a row. And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs. They are 5-5. Also, Saints victorious. The Saints, winners of 8 in a row, making a statement. Panthers had a bit of a slow start themselves, but they've really gotten back on track. They're 7-3. Tonight, your Monday night football game of the week. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the Seattle Seahawks in a battle of 5-5 versus 6-4. I mean 5-4 versus 6-3. That 5-4 being Atlanta, 6-3 being Seattle. I feel that Atlanta will win this. It won't be easy. I think they'll get it done. 23-20. Atlanta looking to get back in after having some disappointing games as of late. They're trying to get back in. Can they? We'll see. Now, when I'm looking at those standings, it surprises me that the Chiefs have fallen off a bit. And Jacksonville Jaguars, 7-3, really? Jags are kind of a sleeper, to me, is what I had always thought, up until this year at least. Titans, 6-4. Yeah, I believe it. But that's just where some of the surprises are, is that AFC South. New England Patriots, 8-2. Nope, not surprised at all. 6 wins in a row. The Brady train is just roaring at full speed ahead. I love Brady. He's one of my favorite NFL quarterbacks. He's great. He's a beast. He's in his 40s. He's still playing well.
And, is he going to retire this year?
Nope. I think he's going to go a couple more years. I said before on this program, either last program or a couple programs ago, I said that he sticks to a very strict diet and a very heavy exercise routine that has paid off big dividends for him. And I'm really proud of what he's been able to do. He's been able to stay healthy. He hasn't gotten hurt too much. He's been sacked a little bit, but what do you expect? He hasn't had to miss any games as of late, except last time he had to miss any substantial amount of games was last year when he was suspended for the Deflategate. But ever since then, you know, he's been doing very well. And they are still going. Another big thing that surprised me, the Rams, how good they're doing. They're doing pretty well. They're actually ahead of the Seahawks right now on the NFC West. So in other words, right now, NFC West, those Los Angeles Rams, the team who had been a sleeper until the past couple of years, they are now, they could win the division. Will they? I don't know yet. There's still 6 games to go. Can the Lions win the NFC North? I would say yes. But they got to keep working. I've been seeing that I wish the Lions would stop doing, giving points up to start the game. All this idea that we always have to come back in the fourth quarter in order to win. We got to stop that and play the game the full 60 minutes. That if we don't, we're going to have some more losses, at least 2 more, I think, to possibly the Vikes, possibly someone else. We can still have a winning season. Don't get me wrong. The schedule is pretty easy the rest of the way, but at some point, you got to stop always having to come back in the fourth quarter. They had to do that with the Browns last week.
to think that they could have lost to the Browns? But in the NFL, it's kind of what keeps the NFL competitive in a way. Although these night games have been such blowouts as of late. Hopefully tonight will be a different story. Now, we go to college football. Dun, 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 dun. That's about how Michigan is probably feel, is might be feeling right now. Instead of singing them that way, bum, 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 they might be thinking, dun, 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 dun. That is because Michigan lost to Wisconsin by the score of 24-10 after being up 10-7 with a few minutes left in the third quarter. Wisconsin goes on a 17-0 run after Michigan's Brandon Peters, the quarterback Brandon Peters, had to be removed from the game on a medical cart. Evaluating a head injury, I understand. So, looks like he will not be playing against Ohio State. You'll have Michigan, Ohio State on Saturday. How do I feel? Well, for Michigan, I'm not feeling so great. I think this could possibly be a blowout. Michigan could make things interesting if their defense, but their defense will really have to step it up a big notch. The defense will have to create some turnovers, score off them. They're going to have to do that if they're going to beat Ohio State. That defense has to be on its game completely. I know they can, but as of late, they haven't exactly done great at it. Michigan State did better. They beat Maryland by 28-20. They beat Maryland in MSU, at MSU in the rain and snow. A bit cooler than the game I was at, which I will get to right after a couple, give the results of a couple more of these games. And then, yep, you had Michigan State over Maryland. Michigan State will conclude the regular season this weekend also, just like Michigan will, where it'll be Michigan, Ohio State. Alabama, who is undefeated still, and now back to being number one in the land. They went big time over Mercer, 48-0. And now they will play the final game of their regular season on Saturday with the Iron Bowl against the Auburn Tigers. Now, keep in mind, this is going to be in Auburn. Alabama goes for that field goal back in 2013 to try to win that ball game, only to have Auburn's defense, not only block it, but recover it and rush back 90-some-plus yards all the way back to the end zone and get Auburn that win. What's going to happen this game? I don't know. But for my general pick six, where I pick these NFL games and these college games, I've already decided that the Iron Bowl will be one of the picks. And I think this could be the game to watch. This could be a deciding factor as to whether Auburn or Alabama gets into the Big Ten championship game. I mean, SEC championship game. And then ultimately, who makes the playoff? Alabama undefeated. Auburn has a loss. In conference, we'll have to see what happens. Could there be another 98-99 yard return on a possible Alabama field goal by Auburn? We will have to wait and see. That's why they play the game. You never know until the game is played. Now, Auburn, I mean Georgia, they get back on their winning ways as they win easily. No huge upsets this weekend. Michigan had a chance when they were up 10-7, but they couldn't move the ball after Peter was knocked out of the game. Couldn't. Now we go to high school football. Yes, this weekend, folks, in Michigan, marks the 42nd annual MHSAA High School Football State Finals. This time for the 13th season. They take place at Ford Field in downtown Detroit. My game to watch, or my game that I will be there for, is the Clarkston Wolves. By the way, before I get into what's to come, I should first say what happened this weekend in high school football. And we begin with Division I, semifinal one, at Walled Lake Western High School. In the rain and wind and somewhat cold, but it wasn't terribly cold yet at that time, but it was raining really hard. You had Clarkston at 10-2, taking on the Detroit Catholic Central Shamrocks at 8-4. Winner goes to Ford Field, and it is the Clarkston Wolves who are victorious, 27-7. Michael Flugel with a couple touchdowns on the running back, and as well as Josh Candu. I like to call him Josh Candu, but he was taken out of the game. He had to be helped off the field. Something with his knee, maybe his sprained knee or something, maybe with those really bad field conditions. The field conditions obviously did not help. We'll see whether or not he'll play on Saturday. But, not to say, Clarkston 27 and Detroit Catholic Central 7. Now, other side of Division I, you had Detroit Cass Tech looking to go to their third straight state final and try to get a third straight championship. But first, they had to go through. Cass Tech had to go through West Bloomfield and go to Hazel Park to play them in a very sloppy, messy game, made sloppy and messy by the field conditions and what have you. It is West Bloomfield 9, Detroit Cass Tech Technicians 7. Cass Tech did not score until there was 1 minute left in the ballgame. So for your State 1 championship, you have from Region 1, Clarkston Wolves at 11-2 versus from Region 4, West Bloomfield, 11-2. At Ford Field, downtown Detroit, 1 p.m. on Saturday, I will be there. I'll be doing as much of a live feed as I can do. Maybe do some videos when about to score, like if they're in the red zone. There will be some tweets coming too, like after they score or if there's an interception or something, or so-and-so has the ball at 5. And then a few minutes before, letting you know that the game's going to start. But there's going to be some tweets happening. There'll be some live. Yeah, there might be some live video. We'll see about that. But There will be some form of Ford Field Division I coverage live from Ford Field on Saturday afternoon. Now, let's go to Division II, as we have some surprises there. First off, in Division II, you have, from Region 1, your the Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central Rangers taking on the they took on Livonia Franklin on Saturday in Elma. And you had GFHC at 12-0, and you had Livonia Franklin at 10-2. Forest Hill Central got shut out, completely dominated by Franklin, 20-0. For the second straight year, there is no team from the west side of Michigan in either Division One or Division Two of the MHSAA playoffs. And we go to the semifinal two, where you have Detroit Martin Luther King taking on Warren De La Salle. De La Salle over King, 14-13. 1 point difference. That literally could have been a difference of a safety. Could have determined that game. A safety. You know, like we're on the 1 yard line, and then you just sack that guy. And when you're on your own one, you got that one team held backed up on their own one, then you sack them, you get a safety. Would have been the difference of a safety, and King could have won 15-14. But nope, you have instead Livonia Franklin versus Warren De La Salle. And that is your big league, your big league state championships. Division III now, you have Muskegon going back to Ford Field for the 15th time in 6 years trying to get a win. They've lost all of the last four games to Detroit area schools. And this time, they look to get a win. They are 13-0. They are rolling. They are totally stomping their opponents big time. I think they will get a win this year at Ford Field. Local. We go to Region 5. We go to Division 5, where you have Swan Valley taking on Grand Rapids West Catholic, 4:30 p.m. Saturday. I may stay for part of that game as well. We'll see what Saginaw-Swan Valley can do and get themselves a state championship. Division 6, Ithaca looks to get a win. Another state title win. I will not be there. That is a Friday game. Division 8, Nouvelle Catholic Central looks to get themselves on the board with another win. I love that there's two Saginaw area teams that are going to be there, and one from a little bit further away, but still in Ithaca. So three teams, you're from Saginaw, either Swan Valley or Ithaca, or if you're from Saginaw and you're from Swan Valley or Nouvelle, or if you're an Ithaca Yellow Jacket or, have a good friend that is, go down and support your team. It's great. You have their backs. Get behind them. It's great to see. These could, some of these could possibly be NFL players. You never know. Obviously, not too many high school players get to the NFL, but some teams have one or two who do. But, because, yeah, these games unite communities together like nothing else does. You want to see true unity? Go to Ford Field this weekend and just watch as one side of the field, they're all sitting together in unity behind their field, I mean behind their team. Us in Clarkston, we'll be on that visitor's side. We'll all have one thing in mind, and that is getting their third state championship in 5 years. They did it in 2013 for the first time ever. They did it in 2014. Neither time did they have any kind of player that was looking like they could go to the NFL. They were very unselfish players who had one thing in mind, getting a state championship. They not only got one, but two. And I was very happy for Coach Richardson the first couple times he got it. I didn't know that it was them who did it until a couple days after. But I'm very excited for Saturday to see what happens. I'll be there for them. Loud and proud, blue and gold, Wolves. Get that third trophy. And keep in mind, the Wolves did win a state championship for boys basketball this year. So they will have swept the big league boys trophies. Clarkston will have if they get one on Saturday. And that is special. No one's done that in a long time. And even Muskegon, when they did get a trophy in 2016 in basketball, the boys football team in 2016 almost got one, but was denied by Orchard Lake St. Mary's, a team who this year did not make it, as they had a losing season where they went 3-6. But hey, stuff happens. The game of football, that's why we love it. Now, we are going to get off of football right now and get to NBA Pistons. Pistons, last night, 193 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And they, for them, they end a two-game losing skid and are now 11-5. Still pretty good, if you ask me, to be 11-5. Not terrible, you know. You know, it'd be like NFL 11-5, but it's not quite the same because keep in mind, you still have 66 games to play. You know, because it's an 82-game season. But 11-5, nice start. Glad to be a Pistons fan. Red Wings, all Wednesday. They score 8-2. They win 8-2, but there's a really bad fight. A brawl in which one of the goalies is suspended for 10 games for it. So he has to sit out 10 games for a big brawl that happened at that Red Wings game at Little Caesars Arena. So they're going to be out without one of the services of their great players thanks to that brawl. They play again very soon. But now, like I was saying, to you people who are planning to go this weekend to Ford Field, have fun, have a blast. It be nice, being respectful to the opponents if you see them. You know, keep in mind that both of these teams, your team and the other team, have the same goal in mind. Winning that state championship trophy. Coveted trophy there is in the state of Michigan when it comes to high school sports is that football trophy, as high school football is the most popular sport for high school. But, you know, if your team loses, you still came this far. You still came as far as you could have gone in the state of Michigan. You got to Ford Field, and that still deserves a celebration just for making it there. Still a cause to celebrate, you know, win or lose. Ultimately, it's about sportsmanship. Be a great sport. Fans being great sports and players on the field being good sports. I would say to all your coaches, if you were listening to me, if I have players listening to me right now, be good sports. Yeah, you can talk trash here and there. It's fine. But don't get all mad about it. Don't be vulgar about it. Don't do things that would raise a flag and would cause you to get an unsportsmanlike. Because those unsportsmanlike penalties, that 15-yarder will get you. Bad. So try to avoid those. And remember, as the MHSAA says, good sports are always winners. By the way, if you're going to that Michigan-Ohio State game in Ann Arbor, be a good sport. Even if you're going to that Lions-Vikings game on Thursday, be a good sport. I know they teach it at high school sports about sportsmanship, but sportsmanship is very important in sports in general. You got to have great sportsmanship. Very important. The key to success. Lack of sportsmanship will get you hard. You got to be, and if you can be a great man on the field, you know, and you're just doing your job well and not getting penalties and all that kind of stuff, it can help you to not get all these DUI charges and all this other stuff that can keep you off the field. So part of good sportsmanship helps you to build good character. And it's important that athletes have great character. You know, you got to have good character. Because good character is very important. Got to have it. If I have a kid, he's going to have one of those posters on his wall, one of these NFL players. Better be a guy of good character and stature. There are certain guys, I will not name them right now, there are certain guys that have done some things. Their poster will not be on my son's wall or daughter's wall if I have kids. They will not be, because I want my kids to follow athletes that have good character. Very important when we talk about these athletes. So, Father, bless these who listened to this program tonight. We had a great show. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who tuned in. Thank you that people learned something from me about walking in forgiveness from the verses we read. Even if it's this little discussion I just had about, you know, these athletes and having that sportsmanship and character. Because even as Christians, you know, you want to be a man of character. But, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that these people listened and paid attention. And that it won't just be I survived another Preacher and Miracle Man show. It'll be this changed my life for the better. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. And until tomorrow night, until next time, everybody, God first, God always. So long, everybody. I will see you all tomorrow night.
Shelly, I need to shut off.
Uncall?
I'm just saying, I need
to shut off.
Uncall?
What?
Uncall?
Yeah.